This is an ohs.com.au production.
Welcome to episode 49 of the Australian Health and Safety Business Podcast. I'm Brendan Tarazzi, the host of the show, and today I'm with Dr. Gary Marling from Culture Radar. Good morning, Gary.
Hi, Brendan. Good morning to you, and thanks very much for inviting me on to your podcast.
So just to give the listeners a bit of context, tell us how Culture Radar came into being, and then we'll go into what it actually does.
Okay, not a problem. So Culture Radar is essentially a business that phoenixed out of my consulting company when COVID came along. When COVID hit, clients didn't want you in their offices, and if you can't get in front of clients, then you can't consult, and therefore you can't bill, and therefore it has an impact on your bottom line. Fortuitously at the time, my son came to me. He's got a working history in what he calls advertising technology, and he was at a crossroads with his career. And he said, "You know what, Dad?" He said, "We should put our minds together, and we should pick up one of the service offerings you've got for your clients, and we should see if we could fully digitize that, so that it's not dependent on in terms of getting in front of clients." And so we looked at all the service offerings, and the one that came to mind that could easily be done was safety culture. We offered a service of designing culture surveys for our clients, analysing the results of that, and then offering some back end consulting services should the client not have the competence or the capacity within the business to operationalise the strategies and the tactics that fell out of the survey. So for the last 2 years, we've been working on digitising that. We've had a very good uptake in the mining industry, certainly interest out of the construction industry, and out of the industry that I grew up in, the rail industry as well. So those are three. And anywhere where it's what we call heavy industry with high risk is what we're looking at.
So is this like safe? You said safety culture. Is it's culture around attitudes towards safety, or...? Is that the primary focus?
That's where we started, yes. My consulting business was mainly around health and safety and the surveys we did in the old traditional sense were around safety. But what we found over the last 18 months or so is that people want to look outside of what I call the subset of safety culture. And culture is an enormous beast in itself, but you've got to break it down into subsets to fully understand what's going on, safety being one of them. But our clients are now coming to us and asking, "Oh, could you do something very similar for so we can find out what our environmental culture is, or our social responsibility culture, our security culture?" We've even got some clients asking for a strategic culture survey. And on top of that, too, we do a broad organisational culture survey as well.
So it's almost like the safety is the foot in the door, and then get some results for your customers that way, and then they go, "Well, what else can we do to, I don't know, to get more information or improve our processes?" The culture, I guess that's the bottom line, isn't it? They need to better culture equals better productivity equals better morale, and so on and so forth.
Oh, absolutely. You've hit the nail on the head. You know your stuff here, Brendan. That's absolutely right. The safety culture, as you said, was the foot in the door. And then we've had to pivot to look at other cultures, other cultural subset, shall I say, if that's what the client wants, then we can certainly give them that. And we've brought a number of other people onto our team who are experts in those fields, the ones I did mention, like environment and social responsibility and so on. Because whilst it's it might sound easy to, I'm just going to develop a tool to capture the information in this, in our service offering, there's a a high degree of social psychology built into how the questions are framed.
Yeah.
What themes are we particularly looking at in each cultural subset? So, for example, if I go back to the safety culture, we've got themes like leadership. Leadership so important, closely entwined within how your culture is performing is how your leadership performs as well. We look at vision, we look at practice, and we've got learning capacity and things like that. So culture is fairly complex in itself. Many of our clients come out of the traditional schools of undertaking a survey and just tell me what my culture is, a score out of five. Right. But you're not doing yourself any favor. It doesn't really tell you the full story. You really need to understand those underlying themes. You've almost got to go down to understanding the underlying statements that they're responding to that give you the results in those themes. We've used the Cameron and Quinn framework. They have a competing values framework, and we've adapted that and called it our risk dynamics framework. So you look at your culture as a multi-dimensional thing rather than just a score out of five. And then I get clients to come back to me and they say, well, yeah, it's not really a score out of five. Can you put it on a safety maturity model for us?
Right.
And then I say, well, my opinion of safety maturity models, look, they're good. We've got to have these simplified models to understand complex things. But if you overlay a score of five on a safety maturity model, it's like playing Twister on a bidirectional escalator. There's just so many moving parts. You can't stand on one step.
Yeah. So I imagine the trick with this is like it's, you know, we can fill out a survey, but then you get the answers, but your expertise, I would imagine, is interpreting that data and actually what does it mean for XYZ company and how can they use it to make changes?
Exactly right. What we do is we take it that one step further. So I've seen many surveys where the clients are just offered tables or pretty graphs. But what does that mean at the end of the day? It needs to have some interpretation, some analysis put into it. And the analysis shouldn't be just on the score itself. When we do the survey, we ask the individuals to give us some qualitative data to give a fuller picture on why they've picked a particular number off the Likert scale for the quantitative measure. But then we have focus groups as well. So we show them the results live, real time, theme by theme, and we have a 5-minute discussion in a group. And so that triangulates the data to the point that you get some really rich stories about what your culture is.
Mm. So can you give us an example of, you know, you don't need to name the client, but give us an example of, you know, a company comes along and says, Gary, we'd like to do a survey, and then you conduct that. What are the changes you've been able to push through as a result? I imagine it's with culture, it's so hard to change as well. So it's definitely not an overnight thing. It takes time.
Yeah, look, you're right there. I use the analogy. It's like if you're into trading stocks and you look at the graph of a stock price, it's a marathon for the stock price to increase. You see a gentle rise, gentle climb in the rise, but when it goes wrong, it falls off the edge of the cliff. So it's a marathon, not a sprint, to change your culture.
Yeah.
But what we do is, in terms of, once we've done the analysis and we give the strategic recommendations and the underpinning supporting tactics for the client to then operationalize in the business, what we do is we look for the low-hanging fruit. So we look for things where there's a fairly large gap in terms of where they are now and where they want to be. And then where we know there's a quick and cost-effective strategy with tactics they can put in place to show they can get runs quickly on the board, and that gets everyone on board. With you do a pulse survey down the track to prove that the measure has changed, or the KPI. We've got a module within our system called the PLOT, where we give KPI and project management measures in there, so we can prove very quickly with a pulse survey 3 months down the track that those measures have changed. Perhaps I can give you maybe two high-level examples of that. I won't name the companies. In one company, it came back clearly that the staff really didn't know what their vision of safety was. It was in lots of documents around around the organisation. But you know, it was just words on paper and paragraphs of it. So one of the recommendations that that we gave is to get a clear picture of what safety is in this organisation. The vision is, we need to bring it down in terms of the number of words. Try and keep the clear meaning you want. Almost make it like a Twitter handle. So it's easy to remember. Everyone can memorize it. Understanding, and it's not just a case of rote learning, this is our vision. You've got to understand as well the context of how it fits into the organization. But then you need to socialize it, and not only internally within your organization, externally. But the trick there is that once people start talking about safety, you can talk too much about it. Mm. And people start turning off. So one of the tactics was to make sure that we raised it as often as we could without actually flooding people with it and losing the value of the message. And then we did a pulse survey of this organisation, and they came up quite significantly higher in terms of the safety vision aspect, the safety vision theme. So as I say, we're looking for to get quick runs on the board, get the low-hanging fruit. That was very easy to do, and it resulted in their pulse survey showing a step change in terms of the understanding.
Yeah, right. So in that case, it sounds like it just hadn't been communicated clearly, and you simplified it and put it in words that everyone could understand. So therefore, people got it, and they're on board to. They understand it, yeah.
So they had words and words around safety being a priority in the company, and all of a sudden, once you start doing that, I mean, the natural thing is once you start making something a priority, priorities change. Yeah. And as I said, there were words and words around it. What they simply came up with, they got the understanding through doing some work with us that we're not here to do safety alone. If you're here to do safety alone, you're going to go broke. You're actually here to do some work that's value to your clients. Mm. So we changed the whole mindset that we're here to do work safely. The two go hand in hand. Yep. So the Twitter pitch they came up with was production first, safety always. How great. Simple.
Yep. That, I can understand that. I think most people could, couldn't they? That's great. Yeah.
So that worked well. I'll give you another quick example of another client. That was the vision one.
Advertising agencies would charge millions for that, Gary.
Maybe I'm in the wrong business. as I said before, there's a lot of underpinning psychological theory and practice behind everything we do in terms of measuring culture and analyzing it and giving recommendations and tactics. So one of the underlying measures in our process is working out what the level of trust is. And we had one client who were performing fairly well. They were, out of 100, their trust level came to about 73.
Okay.
So we looked at where was the low-hanging fruit in terms of trying to get that trust up. We put some tactics into play there. And 3 months later, we did a pulse survey. And just on the key themes for trust that we remeasured, they came up into the high 80s.
Wow.
So, okay. Yeah, significant change over 3 months. And one of the issues they had with trust is that there were a lot of contractors on site, so it was an us versus them scenario.
Yeah. Yep.
So we put some things into play to consider a one-team approach to doing business.
Oh, okay, great. So I'm curious to hear, like, what makes, you know, like a few years ago you would talk about culture and changing culture and it was all a bit fluffy. it seems like the general business world has moved forward now, and they understand the value of, you know, having a good culture at your organization. What are the triggers for companies to knock on your door? Like, is it, there's something, is there any, like, is there a theme that runs through it? Like, I know, like, in training, of it's rarely preventative. It's always reactionary, and you know, something hits the fan and they're like, oh, we need some training. Is there a trigger like that? Are you finding with culture? Like, is that, I don't know, that maybe is a common theme between customers?
Look, we don't have many people knocking on our door. It's a really us have to go search out clients. But the ones that do come to us, the key theme is they're starting to see their lag measures go the wrong way. And so, you know, within their safety team or their executive team, they may say, you know, we have a problem with our culture. And a lot of times they intrinsically know a little bit about their culture, but it's like an onion. When you start peeling the layers of the onion skin off, they don't really fully understand it.
Yeah.
And so that's where we come in by measuring it to give them an enhanced understanding. Now, I'm not saying nobody knows nothing about their culture. They know intrinsically. So they will come to us when they start seeing things like that. And there are some peer-reviewed papers out there that shows the link between your lag measure performance and your safety climate. They've got a symbiotic relationship. Fully answer your question? I'm just got the feeling that I may have slightly gone off on a tangent there. But
no, it's just so it's a thing that's building, and it sounds like, you know, some of those changes that you've been able to make for companies, there's a direct ROI on that, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We know that. We're also actually working, we've got some people working in the background for us trying to define exactly what that ROI is.
Yeah.
We know it's there. And it certainly is going to help us in terms of when we go and talk to companies to show them a number.
Yeah.
It's just hard to define that number at the moment, but we're working on it because it's important for you know, the executives in the organisation to know exactly what rate of return they're going to get. They know they're going to get one, but what is it?
And so it's all done remotely at the moment.
Oh, that's a good question. So prior to COVID, we used to take this traditional approach as well. We used to go into organisations and we would facilitate the surveys. Now, one of the reasons we facilitate it is, again, it's a psychological theory that you want to give people as little time as possible to respond to the statements, because you want their tacit or their gut feel. You don't want them to overthink the statement and give you the wrong result. You don't want them to overthink and then overthink again and think, oh, what does the company want me to answer here?
Yeah.
So that's why we used to go in and facilitate the survey more to get the timing right. Mm. So we had to be face-to-face, but now with like you and I chatting on Zoom at the moment, we're using tools like Zoom and Teams and WebEx and Google Meet, whatever the client wants. We facilitate remotely. Yeah. We have a short training session with someone at client side so they can facilitate in terms of, and I don't like using this term, but everyone will get it as soon as I say it, herding the cats in the room.
Yeah, right.
keeping them focused is what I probably should say. But we're at the other end of the room doing the timing and to ask any sort of technical questions, or sometimes some of the language we use doesn't translate on some sites too well or in some countries too well, so we might have to give an example. So, for example, one of the questions we have steeped in social psychology is that we consider trade-offs and byproducts in all the decisions we make, and people stumble on that. That's important set of wording to use. So then I give an example of that, and it's contemporary. With COVID now, we don't want people touching handrails. Whereas a lot of companies have rules, that say when you're walking up and down stairs, you have some of them say 3 points of contact and touch the hand and keep a hand on the handrail at all times. Although it's not 3 points, is it? But anyway, that's what they asked. Now they're saying, no, you can't touch the handrail because it can be a transmission for COVID. So we've got to understand that, the byproduct of that is going to be that we may have more slips, trips and falls going up and down stairs. So the trajectory of that is we may get an increase in our lag measures. But what we do is we're taking that trade-off of is it better for someone to have a stumble on steps versus somebody holding onto a handrail to catch COVID?
Yeah.
So some of the questions do need a little bit of explanation behind them. We actually work with the clients before we do the survey to try and get the language absolutely right, and we run a little pilot survey. But
is the survey delivered online or is it paper based?
They
each log in and you capture each individual answer, that sort of thing. That's the technology that you've built, or are you utilizing another technology to do that, or
currently using a third party that's built in seamlessly, but we're because they don't have the ability to facilitate on timing and things like that, and have little video voice
prompts
plays to explain questions and that, we're in the process of developing our own, and we're very close to releasing that. We're pretty excited about it. In which case we won't be needed there to facilitate. People can undertake the survey individually, but then we will pull them together for the focus group sessions to show results and then capture that rich dialogue about sometimes it's as simple as that doesn't surprise us, move on, let's have a look at the next thing. We know that, and that's important to grab as well. But then if it's a poor result, we try and find out why is it poor, and what sort of things would you like to see done in the organization to fix that. So then we capture, as I say, all that rich dialogue to give a complete picture of what the culture is. Because these are hidden things. These are the things that you can't grasp even by just doing an ethnographic study, going on site and observing behavior and looking at the what we call the contracts and norms, the procedures and policies and so on, or even looking at the artifacts, the symbols that they've got, posters on walls. That all tells you a story about culture. But the point is you've got to get down to those things that are unobservable, and you've got to get people to verbalize them to you.
Mm. I guess that's the thing as well. Like you touched on it before about employees or workers answering what they think the company wants to hear as opposed to what they really think.
Yeah, and we've done this in Asia, and Asian cultures is that you don't bag the organization. Yeah. You give the, but it's funny, you know, we did one recently in Asia, where in the quantitative assessment they all gave very good scores, and then when you open up the dialogue, it's completely opposite.
Yeah.
So that was a bit difficult for us to rationalize our. So we actually held some additional focus group meetings to try and understand what was going on there.
That's brilliant. So where to from here, Gary? What are your plans to? It sounds like you're growing the company now. You're getting more uptake by some big names. I can see on your website, you've got Transport for New South Wales and Vietnam Airlines and a whole host of other big names.
Yeah, we've got a few of the big players there. We don't have enough room to put all our clients there, but you can never have enough. We're always looking for more.
Is there a sweet spot that this makes sense? Have you found I don't know, a couple of thousand employees you need to make it work, or what's the smallest number of employees you could have to get some kind of meaningful result?
Yeah, good question again. So we're searching for anyone in heavy industry, high risk business with 200 employees or more.
Okay. Well, that's good. You've really defined your client that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's important. I mean, you've got to understand the economics of it. We've got to charge enough for us to make a profit. Yeah. We find that any business is less than that. Whilst we believe they get a good result of it, what we charge for it is probably not palatable to them, shall we say.
100%.
But over that 200, people see the value of it. And they understand that we're there on the journey with them as well. Yep. It's not just a case of, in the traditional way you used to do it, you do a culture survey, here's your results, and we'll see you next year. No, we're on the journey. Depending on what level of service the client wants from us, we've got a tiered levels of services. In our strategic package, we actually run a 4-hour culture summit once a year for them.
Oh, right. There you go. So, I mean, I guess the other beauty of this, the new delivery model, is that you're not restricted to, you know, the world is your oyster, in other words. So I think that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, look, the world remains our oyster with the way that we're heading, particularly because in COVID, I don't know if I'm more of a glass half empty than full person. Yep. Everyone seems to be positive about COVID because we're getting the vaccines. I'm no expert in it, but I just have this nagging feeling that we've got to deal with this for another couple of years before we get on top of it.
Yep.
And so this is the way we've headed to keep the world our oyster, using your words. I like that. Thank you.
No problem at all. Okay, well, look, if people want to find out more about your business, what's your website there?
Yeah, it's simply cultureradar.com.au.
Fantastic.
So they can follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and we've just gone on to Instagram as well. So.
Oh, there you go. Fantastic. All right, Gary, well, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Brendan, thank you very much. I appreciate you giving me the airtime to talk about something we're passionate about.
Good on you.
You've been listening to an ohs.com.au production.
I hope you've been enjoying listening to the podcast. If you are, it'd be great if you could help us out by leaving us a review and sharing this with friends and colleagues.